Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With six hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us. And through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord,
Let us pray. O God, who through the grace of adoption chose us to be children of light, grant, we pray, that we may not be wrapped in the darkness of error, but always be seen to stand in the bright light of truth. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Book of Wisdom. God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. For he fashioned all things that they might have being, and the creatures of the world are wholesome, and there is not a destructive drug among them, nor any domain of the netherworld on earth. For justice is undying. For God formed man to be imperishable. The image of his own nature he made him. But by envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it. The word of the Lord.
Mercy on me, be my helper. reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, as you excel in every respect, in faith, discourse, knowledge, all earnestness, and in the love we have for you, may you excel in this gracious act also. For you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Not that others should have relief while you are burdened, but that as a matter of equality, your abundance at the present time should supply their needs, so that their abundance may also supply your needs, that there may be equality. As it is written, whoever had much did not have more, and whoever had little did not have less. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue officials, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today's gospel reading intermingles two miracle stories. In one, Christ healed a woman who had been sick for 12 years. But let's talk about her spiritual condition and not necessarily her physical condition. Let's apply this story spiritually instead of physically. Not the chronic condition of the body, but the chronic condition of the soul. Because in this area of life, every one of us needs some kind of healing experience. Let's begin by analyzing the problem. For 12 long years, this woman had lived with her affliction. And with only a little imagination, we can see in that a close parallel to some spiritual problems that afflict our lives. A sickness of the soul, no less than a sickness of the body, can become a chronic condition. Let's look into our lives and see if this isn't true. Could we not put a finger on an unhealthy spiritual condition that has remained unimproved year after year? It doesn't take an expert to analyze this kind of problem. All it takes is an honest observer. Were we touchy, overly sensitive, and difficult to live with a dozen or more years ago? Look at that area of life today. Has anything changed? Has the condition improved at all? Or look at another area. Did we resent something that someone did to us or said about us a long time ago? Are we still carrying that same old grudge and bitterness and hatred today? If we are, that is a chronic sickness. 12 years ago, did we have an uncontrolled temper that brought unhappiness to friends and family and dishonor to Christ? How about right now? Is that temper under any better control today? What is so bad about this kind of thing is not that we have these problems, but that we are willing to tolerate these spiritual ailments year after year. The poor woman in our story was the helpless victim of a physical malady. Many of us, however, are the voluntary victims of spiritual illnesses. And here is another aspect of the problem. These chronic conditions, these things that we just let go on, they not only continue, but they tend to get worse. The reading tells us that the woman had sought out whatever crude medical treatment was available in that day. But this did not help. Instead of getting better, she got worse. Once again, the spiritual parallel applies. Our spiritual ailments do not remain the same. They either grow or shrink, move forward or slide backward, get better or get worse. A grown man does not remain at the same level of childishness throughout his adult life. He either changes his direction and grows up, or he regresses further and further into childishness. A selfish person does not stop and stay on the same level of self-seeking. He either discovers that there are other people in this world besides himself, or else he becomes more and more self-centered as the years go by. Bad habits are not like good wine. They do not get better with age. On the contrary, they get worse. Having analyzed the problem, let's move a step further and ask ourselves the next logical question. What, if anything, can be done about it? The wonderful thing about the woman in our gospel story was that she had not given up on herself. Even after 12 long years, she was still trying. If help was available, she was determined to find it. She obviously had heard of Christ and his power to heal. So she made her way through the crowd and got close enough to him that she could reach out and touch his cloak. To some skeptics among us, that may seem more like superstition than faith. But it was all that she had, and she acted upon it. That was the key to her recovery. One thing that can be always said about genuine faith is that it isn't lazy. It is active. To believe in the saving power of Christ does not mean that we sit down, fold our hands, and wait for him to come and solve our problems and straighten out our lives for us. If the woman in the gospel had taken that approach, it is safe to say that she would not have been restored to health. Instead of sitting and waiting and wishing, she made a positive effort to put herself in the position where Christ could meet her needs. She had a conviction, or at least a hope, and she acted upon it. That's the only kind of faith that ever makes any real difference in our lives. The kind that we act upon. For a moment, let's each of us take a look at our own lives. Has our relationship with Christ made any appreciable difference in our character? Is the inner man, the person that we really are, stronger and healthier than he was a dozen years ago? If not, why not? In most cases, the answer to that question would be spiritual laziness. Christ is not going to mold and strengthen our lives by some kind of remote magic. We became an expert in the great art of Christian living in much the same way we become an expert in anything. We learn the technique, and then we discipline ourselves to practice it. That's how we master the game of golf. That's how we become a master pianist. That's how we move towards excellence in any kind of skillful performance. I recall one of our university professors, a Cistercian monk and priest, and come summer vacation, he determined that he wanted to learn to play the piano. With the permission of the abbot, he rented a piano and moved it into a hot, unair-conditioned summer house where he wouldn't disturb the community. Wrapped a towel around his neck and banged away night and day. 3 months later, he could play the piano. How can we turn up our noses at technique and at practice and self-discipline in Christian living when we regard them so highly in every other realm of life? Christ-like character never just happens. It is deliberately built through meditation, prayer, study, worship, fellowship, service, penance, and faithful participation in all of the soul-saving sacraments. In this way, we discover the truth about ourselves, face up to the problems that are there, and then go out to meet them with a working faith. Christian living takes practice and self-discipline. The next time something happens that irritates us, instead of losing our temper like we've done for years, let's exercise a little patience and self-control. Then discipline ourselves to do it again and again until we find ourselves becoming more proficient in the exercise of patience. The next time we encounter discouragement, instead of giving up and caving in, let's exercise a little courage and self-discipline. Remember, this isn't the first crisis we have ever faced. We've come through bad times before, so doesn't it stand to reason that God will see us through this one as well? We can learn to face discouragement with strength and honor and overcome it. Being a Christian takes practice and self-discipline. We could go on and on, but the point is that the only faith that works is the faith that we put to work. God isn't going to do for us what we can do for ourselves. If only we were not so lazy. We wouldn't do that to our children. Why should we think that God would do that to us? Let's close our meditation on the gospel message by looking at the happy ending. The woman at long last found healing. She recovered from a sickness that she had endured for 12 long years. Our Lord said to her, "Daughter, it is your faith that has cured you. Go in peace and be free of this illness." Christ can do that for the soul as well as the body. A person can actually recover from a spiritual ailment that he or she has lived with for years. At times we may have our doubts. Nevertheless, we must believe that Christ's power is adequate not only for the simple problems of life, but for the complex problems as well. The difference between recovery and regression must lie within us. Do we want to get well? Are we really serious about being whole and healthy people? There were multitudes who thronged our Lord that day, but only one woman who reached out and touched his cloak in a desperate bid for his healing grace. Do we really want to be Christian in the highest sense of the word? We can, but it will not be easy. It will take some honest facing of facts about ourselves. It will take the daily exercise and discipline of faith. And it will take time. But we are not incurable. Christ can heal our spiritual illness even though we may have lived with it for a dozen years or more. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us present our needs and the needs of the world to our loving God, who responds to prayer from faithful hearts.
For our church, as we strive together and individually to witness God's truth and salvation to the pagan world around us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For Bishop William Michael Mulvey, who celebrates his 40th anniversary in the priesthood, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For a conversion of heart and a return in penance and sorrow to our covenant with God in our nation as we mark our 239th year of independence on July 4th, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For doctors, nurses, and all healthcare workers as they tend to the needs of those in their care, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who serve in our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Patsy Hinojosa, Robert E. and Hannah G. Hagelin, Robert E. Hagelin, Jr., and Deacon Raul Hinojosa, and for the intentions of Ruth Velasquez, who celebrates her birthday, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Now, my dear friends, for all of those needs that we hold in the silence of our hearts. For all of our intentions, spoken and unspoken, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. O God of life, again and again you change our sorrows into joy. Be with us now as we make these prayers and graciously grant them according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. earth and work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become our spiritual drink. Blessed be God. Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Let us pray. O God, who graciously accomplished the effects of your mysteries, grant, we pray, that the deeds by which we serve you may be worthy of these sacred gifts. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you laid the foundations of the world and have arranged the changing of times and seasons. You formed man in your own image and set humanity over the whole world in all its wonder. To rule in your name over all you have made and forever to praise you in your mighty works through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so with all the angels we praise you, as in joyful celebration we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
In your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, his brother Bishops Edmund and Renee, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever. Amen. At the Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom of God.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit. Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. our thanks to Christa Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.